Well, it's so lovely to be back, and thank you so much for your welcome. I bring you the love and the greetings of our three children, Nicola, Helen and Tina, for those of you who remember them. It's almost exactly 21 years ago to the day that we left South Parade, so they're very different than they were when they were here. I also bring you the love and greetings of Jeff and Margaret Greer. Those of you who remember them or recently left, they live near us now in Bakewell, and every month or so we go out for a walk with them, and we were walking out with them just Friday this week, and they asked specifically for us to give their love to you. I'd like to assure you of our thoughts and prayers for you as you seek God's will for the future and for future ministry, and to assure you that we are with you in prayer in that, and do trust that God will clearly guide you and lead you. I want to particularly thank you for inviting me back today for Palm Sunday. For me, this coming week is probably the most special week in the history of the world. And for me to be here at the beginning of this week is an enormous privilege for me. And thinking about weeks, sometimes if you haven't seen somebody, maybe you meet them in church, you haven't seen them since last week, one of the questions you may ask them is, have you had a good week then? And in my experience, the answer to that is normally fairly low-key. Have I had a good week? Well, yeah, it's been okay, I suppose. Thank you. I sometimes wonder what answer you'd get if you'd ask one of the disciples on Easter Sunday in the evening, have you had a good week, Peter? And I think he would have looked very nonplussed and rather confused and said, have I had a good week? Well, it began well, and it ended well, but the stuff in the middle was absolutely terrifying. And, of course, that is the nature, isn't it, of this particular week. A week that began with the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Then we find him getting really angry as he storms into the temple. He has a meal with his disciples that must have been very moving. He then goes into the Garden of Gethsemane where he sweats great drops of blood as he anguishes over what's going to happen to him. He then has the most humiliating and terrifying and torturous death that anybody could ever have to face before he is then buried in a borrowed tomb. And then Easter Sunday he gloriously rises from the dead. One of the interesting things, I think, about Easter week as well is that there are amazing little snapshots of intense love by Jesus. You see this as he hands the bread to Judas, the traitor. You see it as he heals the severed ear of a man who had come to arrest him. You see that depth of love as he reaches out his hands on the cross and says, Father, forgive them. And then he turns to a criminal who's dying next to him and offers to that man a place in paradise. And then he looks out over the crowds who are gathered there in front of him, and with a tremendous sense of love and devotion, he provides for his mother and for her future. It is indeed a remarkable week, and this morning on this Palm Sunday, as we think about Jesus entering into Jerusalem, we're going to focus on the account that was just read to us from Mark 11, verses 1 to 11. And what I want us to think about this morning is, what does Palm Sunday tell me about Jesus? Very simple thought, really, but what does Palm Sunday tell me about Jesus? And the first thing it tells us about Jesus is that Jesus is the divine Messiah who was sent from heaven by God. A few years ago, Nicola, who is our eldest daughter, acquired a dog. The dog is called Asher, And she is very sweet. She's a Springer Spaniel. She was about 2 or 3 years old when Nicola and her family acquired this dog. And one of the interesting things that we have tried to discover about Asher is what she's like, where she come from, what sort of dog is she, what's her character like, what experiences has she had before she came to us, where is she from, this dog? Now, of course, being a dog, she can't tell us. So we have to pick up clues about what's happened to her in the past. And the clues are there if you see them. For example, when we're walking along the road, if Asher sees a child in front of her, she disappears. She goes about 30 yards off. She hunts her way through the undergrowth. Once the child has gone past us, Asher then reappears and joins us again. And we surmise from that that at some point in her past, she was perhaps cruelly treated by a child. And so she is afraid of children. The other thing that Asher does is that whenever she sees a squirrel or a bird, she's off like a shot, chasing after them. And I'm told, although I'm glad it hasn't happened to me, on a couple of occasions, she has actually brought an injured bird back in her mouth and proudly dropped the bird at the feet of her family. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Asher, when she brings a bird back in her mouth, is incredibly gentle. She doesn't damage the bird in any way. She just brings it and drops it. And we guess from that at some point Asher was probably trained to be some kind of hunting dog. And she probably failed in her, well, I think she did, she failed in her whatever exams hunting dogs take, which is why Nicola got her. Now, in the Gospels, one of the things we read is that people were very interested to know who Jesus was. In Mark 4, verse 41, after the stilling of the storm, the disciples said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." In Luke 5, verse 21, we read, "The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" And then in John 6, verse 42, we read of people saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" And in Matthew's account of Palm Sunday, we read in Matthew 21, verse 10, "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?'" So who is it? Who is this Jesus who is entering Jerusalem? Now, Mark, in his account of Palm Sunday, gives us three really wonderful clues to help us work out who Jesus is. And the first clue is the Mount of Olives. Verse 1, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives." Now, understand that the Mount of Olives is 2,600 feet high and is situated to the east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives played a very, very significant part in people's expectations and hopes for the future. A good example of this is found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, where we read this, "Then the Lord will go out and fight against the nations as he fights on the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem." And so the people believed that when their Messiah came, sent from God to them, he would stand on the Mount of Olives. And so the Mount of Olives gives us the first clue. Who is this person coming from the Mount of Olives? The second clue we're given is the colt. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here." Jesus' use of this colt is significant in two ways. First, an unused animal spoke of God's choice for sacrifice. So, for example, in Deuteronomy 21, verse 3, we read these words, "The elders of the town shall take a heifer that has never been worked and never worn a yoke. So Jesus' choice of a colt that no one has ever ridden indicates that he is God-given choice for a sacrifice that is going to be made. The second significance of the colt, the unridden colt, can be found in the words that Sue read at the beginning of the service, Zechariah 9, verse 9. See, your king comes for you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey. So the colt gives us the second clue as to who Jesus is. It's something about sacrifice, and it's something about the Messiah, the king, coming on a donkey. The third clue that we're given is the title Lord. Verse 3, if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him the Lord needs it. Now this is a slightly more subtle clue, because the word Lord could mean master, chief, boss, anything. But the word Lord, as you probably know, also is a title of God. It is the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. And interestingly, in Mark's Gospel, this title is hardly ever used. And Jesus, only on very rare occasions, uses that title to describe himself. So what his use here of the title Lord has to be very, very significant. Tell them the Lord needs it. Jesus is taking upon himself the title of God, Jehovah, the Lord. So these three clues, the Mount of Olives, the colt that no one has ever ridden before, and the title Lord, tell us that the one who entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday came from God himself. This is God's chosen ambassador. This man is the agent of God's work in the world. He is indeed the Messiah, the one who has come from God. And the people recognized these three clues, I think, and that is why they got so excited. And why they waved their palm branches and shouted, because they realized, who is this person? He is the Messiah. He is the one sent from God, the divine agent of all that God wants to do in the world. The second thing we see about Jesus on Palm Sunday is that he is one of supreme humility and gentleness. In verses 4 to 8, Mark describes the elaborate arrangements that were made to ensure that Jesus entered Jerusalem in a particular way. And it was very important, obviously, that people would be able to recognize easily and quickly why it was that Jesus came in this way. So Jesus entered Jerusalem, as we all know, riding on a donkey. Now, I think for many people today, a donkey is a figure of fun, isn't it? A donkey is an animal with a large head, knobbly knees, big ears, and a rather peculiar stubborn streak. In the days of Jesus, a donkey was not a figure of fun at all. A donkey was a highly respected animal, and as Sue mentioned earlier, it was a symbol of peace. And as she also said, if Jesus had entered Jerusalem riding on a horse, he would have come on a symbol of war. He would have been coming to show that he was the aggressor. This, of course, is what the people expected of their Messiah. They believed that when the Messiah came, he would come with an army and he would destroy the Roman overlords who had taken control of them. If Jesus had come on foot, he would have been telling the people that he was a pilgrim. He was coming to Jerusalem in search of God, in order to find and to worship God. Jesus neither came on a horse, nor did he come on foot. He came on a donkey. And he came because he was coming in peace and in gentleness. He was arriving not in a spirit of aggression, but as a peacemaker. And on this Palm Sunday, this is something that we do need to remember. And it is that when Jesus comes to us, he does not come to us to destroy us, but to build us up. He does not come in order to force us into submission. He comes to equip us in love. A few years ago, I was preaching in a church, and part of the sermon they'd asked me to preach on contained the words said about Jesus, that a bruised reed he will not break. And right at the end of the service, a lady came up to me and she said to me, "I'm 80 years old, and 4 years ago, my husband died." And she said, "I was absolutely devastated. I went into a period of depression and loneliness and isolation, and I found it really, really difficult in my grief." And she said that a friend of hers gave her those words, "A bruised reed he will not break." And she went on to say to me, "You know, bruised as I was, Jesus stood alongside me and made sure that I wasn't broken. I wasn't destroyed. I was able, hard though it was, to come through that really difficult time." And her testimony expresses something very, very powerful about the message of Palm Sunday. It is that Jesus, who rode a donkey into Jerusalem, still comes to people today in a spirit of gentleness and humility. He does not break the reed that is bruised. Jesus is the divine Messiah sent from God. Jesus is one of supreme humility and gentleness. The third thing that Palm Sunday tells us is that Jesus is our living Saviour. Now, I'm sure you'll understand that since Judy and I retired a little over 10 years ago, we spent quite a lot of time on the golf course. And one of the things that has become even more apparent to me than it was when I used to play golf spasmodically is that it is much, much easier to lose your ball and to get it into trouble than it is to get your ball out of trouble. So I thought I'd show you a picture of a place where we stand a lot on our golf course. This is by the tee of our eighth hole at the golf course where we play. You will notice that there are trees on the left-hand side. In fact, it's out of bounds on the left-hand side. And there are trees all the way down on the right-hand side. A little arrow should appear in a moment, which will show you to a little bunch of trees, or bushes really, that are just down there. There they are, on the right-hand side. So there you are, you're standing on the tee, you take this shot. It's not a bad shot, but it begins to veer off towards the trees. You look at it, your hope is that it will hit a tree and bounce back into the fairway. But no. Of course it doesn't. It misses everything and goes deeper into the trees. So you go and you go into the trees and eventually you find your ball and you think to yourself, well, it got in the trees, it can get out. Bad mistake. It doesn't do that. You stand by your ball, you take a shot, you hit it really quite well, but it hits a tree and it bounces back and it ends up deeper in the woods than it was when you started. In verses 9 and 10 of this passage, the people lining the streets twice use a very interesting word that we've already referred to in this service. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." The word Hosanna, as Sue mentioned, used here as an exclamation of praise, was originally a cry for help. It is the word you would have used if you fell down a pit, or if you were drowning, or you were surrounded by a group of bandits. The word literally means save now. It then became an expression of praise. Praise for the gift of salvation. And so the cry, Hosanna in the highest, was a recognition that from the highest place of all, the gift of salvation has now come down to people. so it was that the people who lined the streets on the first Palm Sunday showed some understanding of who Jesus was and why he'd come. He was the Saviour who came to rescue, to deliver, to set people free. He entered Jerusalem as the Saviour. And he came from the highest place, and where he was going? Well, he was going to the lowest place of all. The place of humiliation. The place of rejection. The place of pain and suffering, of anguish and torment. The place where he would know what it was to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? The place of the cross. From the glories of heaven, the Saviour comes down to the lowest place on earth. And why does he do that? He does it so that he may rescue people who have got lost, so that they can cry Hosanna, not now as an expression of I need your help, but as an expression of joy in the gift of salvation. He comes to bring wholeness, forgiveness, grace, love and peace into our lives, to bring salvation. And in order to do that, Jesus was willing to stoop to the lowest place of all. And that is a remarkable thing, that out of his love for you and for me, he was willing to go to such depths to rescue us. Hosanna, save now, the people shouted as Jesus entered the city. And in that shout, they showed that Jesus was coming to bring salvation. Last week, I was sitting at home, and the doorbell went. And I went to open the door, and standing at the door was a tall young man. And my first thought was, who are you? But before I even had to think too much about that, there were clues about who he was. I looked past him and I noticed a white van at the end of the drive with a logo on it. I noticed that this young man was wearing white overalls, and in his pocket he had what looked like a pot of glue. And the clues told me, ah, that's okay, this young man has come in order to try and repair our decking. So I showed him around the back of the garden, that's what he did. And today we remember how Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem. And we see the clues. If we want to say, who is this Jesus? The clues are there. He is the divine Messiah sent from God. The Mount of Olives, the young colt, the title Lord. Tell us, this is who Jesus is. He is the one who carries the full authority of God himself, sent from God to this world. The riding of a young donkey tells us that even though he comes from this place of power and authority, unlike people's expectations of the Messiah, he is one of supreme humility and great gentleness. He is gentle and caring in his dealings with us. And the cry, Hosanna, shows that Jesus is our living Saviour. And he brings with him the priceless gift of salvation, not to condemn but to save. This majestic, authoritative Lord enters into our world. He comes to where we are in order to lift us up. As we enter this amazing week, may we indeed recognize just who Jesus is. And may we receive and welcome him afresh into our hearts and into our lives, and know the joy that he brings to us.